If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Zillak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior. Chris Wagner is with us, and he joins us from Warrior Ice Rink, presented by the Bruins Auto Insurance Program from Plymouth Rock. Sign up and get exclusive access, access that could get you closer to the Bruins than you'd expect. Visit PlymouthRock.com/Bruins for details. I'd like to know the normal expectation level of access to the Bruins. Like, closer than you'd think. You know?
Yeah, I got you.
What's the normal level of access?
Us a pound on the way out to the ice?
Yeah, what is it?
You're not coming in the locker room, I don't think. I think that's a lot.
All right. What's going on?
Not much. Good New Year's. Get ready for game tonight. Pat's game Saturday. We got the 1 o'clock, and then they're on 8:15. So
is that enough time for you to like be done, decompress?
Yeah, I probably go out to. I think I'm going out to dinner with my parents, my girlfriend on Saturday, and then maybe have people over for the game.
Your parents still pick up the tab for dinner?
Usually. I don't know. It's kind of like a stare down with my dad. It's like, is it your turn or my turn? But I usually expect him to pick it up.
Right. It's like a Sopranos thing. It's like, you think you're doing a nice thing. Remember when Meadows' boyfriend?
Oh, the boyfriend tried to pay and he flipped out.
Well, he did pay. He snuck off and paid the waiter, and Tony got pissed. He's like, when you have your own family, then you can pay for dinner. So let him pay.
Oh, I got no problem letting him pay, that's for sure.
Chris would now like to be referred to as shootout goal scorer, Chris Wagner, from now on. We were dissecting the goal from the other night. And why don't you take us through it, real time here. Got a lot of speed.
All right. I'm going to try a different move. Get the puck in my forehand. I know what I'm going to do. Fake shot, backhand, got to get it up. Got it up.
The only one. The only one to manage to score in a... What was it? That was in the fifth round, too.
Yeah.
I know it was going on for a while by the point you finally scored, but that's nice. That's nice.
That looked like a skill guy.
What is it with you guys in the shootout?
I don't know. I mean, we're sending me, so...
So you're saying you're desperate at this point?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really understand it, like why it comes down to that. But I don't know what our problem is. They score more goals than us.
But that would go to prove, and what you're saying goes to prove that every time when a coach decides on whatever group of players he sends out in a row, it always gets second guessed. Like, oh, what's this guy doing out there, It's always been one of those easy second guesses for fans. It happened under Claude.
Oh, yeah.
It happens now. It happens all the time.
Well, it's like it's a 50-50 thing. So if it doesn't work, you'd be like, oh, why'd you send him? You should have sent him. He couldn't have scored two, and then he's going to get bashed for that.
Right.
So, I don't know. We, do some shootouts in practice, and you try some move to try to impress the coach. But that's a lonely spot. I mean, especially for me, I haven't gone that much when you go out there.
So when do you find out that you're going?
They just scored, and I kind of felt the kick on the back, and I was like, oh.
So no advance notice?
I mean, I'm sure, Marshy, Pasta, and maybe JD, actually Coyle has good numbers in the shootout, too. So I'm sure they know they're going, but once it, like, once it gets to like 4 or 5, and you're like, all right, I could get the tap.
It was fun to watch, and as much as I love watching the 3-on-3 overtime, which I think most fans do.
Yeah.
It's just great. Hair on fire, back and forth, chance after chance. The shootout, I've come around on because I hated it at first, but selfishly, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's entertaining to watch.
But I think it's gone backwards. I thought people liked it off the hop, and now it's like, all right, let's just play 3-on-3 some more. Because, like, if you had, like, 5 more minutes of 3-on-3, I think games would be decided for sure. Guys are going to get tired, and there's going to be – I mean, you pretty much – sometimes the 3-on-3 turns into a shootout with, like, chances, you know, back and forth and stuff like that.
But a while – you know, if you're one of the guys tasked with being out there playing 3-on-3, that can't be easy.
No.
After you've played 60 already and gone through God knows how many shifts to be out there again. I mean, those guys come off after those 3-on-3 shifts, and they look gassed.
Yeah, you can get stuck out for a while, especially everyone tries to play the puck possession game now. So you try not to let the other team change and all that. So you can get stuck out there for, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes sometimes if the guys have possession, and that's no fun.
Do you feel like this team is over the little slump that happened in December?
I think so. I thought those two, Washington was a good game, kind of a weird game as far as, you know, the penalties and stuff, and then going up 4-0. And then the two Buffalo games, I thought we played pretty solid. In both of those, and then, you know, Jersey, I mean, we're up 2-0. We just got to find a way to close that out.
All right, so you mentioned the Patriots are playing on Saturday night. We know that you pay as much attention to the other sports as you do your own. How surprised were you that they lost to Miami on Sunday, number one?
I think after the first quarter, as it started going, it turned into a possibility by the second, really. It looked sloppy. I don't know. I felt like they just thought, as an athlete, they just thought they were going to win, and, you know, they didn't have to, you know, put the effort in. But I mean, maybe it's a good wake up call for this weekend. Not playing in the wild cards since 2009 is kind of scary, though. You know,
the rest is what bothers me, and as you guys, you know, as you know, it's just recently had a chance for a long rest. How much difference does an extra 4 or 5 days make if you're dealing with a pretty serious, I don't want to say injury, but, you know, because there's hurt and there's injured, but I think there are guys playing injured right now on that team. 4 or 5 more days, how much of a difference can that make?
It's not, the serious injuries are the serious injuries, and those are going to hurt. I think it's more like, you know, the groin pulls, like those 4 days of rest could change everything. As far as that, or like maybe like a bone bruise or something, whatever those guys are playing with, and that's when it, like, instead of it just continually nagging you, that's when it will go away and you feel like closer to 100%. So, yeah, the rest is huge, especially because, you know, those guys I assume they practice pretty hard for a couple days of the week to try to get the game plan ready. But you have to practice in football to get ready, right? Like, because of the set plays. I don't know. That's what I just think. I'm sure Bill's not letting guys, you know, sit out practice if they're slightly hurt to rest them, more just really hurt.
Yeah.
Well, good. They only have 2 groin pulls in the secondary. So.
Yeah. Who is it? Is it Jason McCourty?
Jason McCourty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Jones, yep. Yeah. That's a problem. And Edelman's just...
Yeah, I mean, he takes
all kinds of
hard. Speaking of like a hard practice, that was like another full session out there today. Everybody out there.
Yeah, because we had yesterday off, so everybody skates today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, New Year's off.
I'd be tired. You go through all that and got to play tonight.
It's like I've explained this before. It's 12 minutes. It's 12.
It is. It goes by quick because it starts, and then we turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's like bang, 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 2 reps, 3 reps. The only one that's tough is, like I said before, power play penalty kill for the penalty killers.
Yeah.
Stop and start.
It seems to go on for longer.
Yeah.
Hardy thinks this is the best under-the-radar sports take in town.
It is.
To come watch morning skate.
Yeah. There were people who showed up here earlier, and they said, are these guys going to be skating today? And I don't, you know, I don't want to set them up for disappointment. I'm like, yeah, they're absolutely skating today, but who knows?
Yeah.
And I said, look, if they had yesterday off and, all right, you know, coming off a loss, a shootout loss, I said, if I had to guess, I'd say Cassidy's probably going to say everybody show up today. And sure enough, that was the hell of a show you gave the people here today. That was awesome. Did you see the people watching?
It's like we had a full rink the 23rd. There wasn't a seat left.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
School vacation.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But you come out and it's like you get closer to you guys and a chance to see you guys in, and like you said, you know, working on the power play and working on some shootout stuff. That's fun, especially for the kids who may not be able to follow, like, every nuance of the game and the whistles and why is that. No, you guys are just out there going.
No, yeah, we're goofing around sometimes, too. I think, that's the easiest way to get close to us.
Yeah.
Is come to a practice or anything, and you'll see, you know, what we do on a day-to-day basis, and probably pretty cool for a lot of young kids. I would have liked to come when I was that age, a little.
Has the coach?
Tell your dad the next time he picks up dinner, Dad, I would have liked to have gone.
I think we got.
You owe it to me.
I went to one practice when I was little. I skipped school after the bean pot, and we went to a St. Louis Blues practice at Northeastern, and we had to sell my mom on letting me get out of school. But I'll never forget it. I had a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey for some reason. I got it signed by all the St. Louis Blues. Like, what are you thinking?
I don't care.
Yeah. That's what you had.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Chris. Columbus tonight. Catch a game on the Sports Hub. Thanks for being there.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, Chris Wagner, the Bruins, presented by the Bruins Auto Insurance Program from Plymouth Rock. Sign up today for discounts on tickets, deals, and Bruins gear, and the chance to skate at TD Garden and more. Visit PlymouthRock.com/Bruins. For details, we'll get to the action update. Shaughnessy will rejoin us in a moment. And hold on, before we do that, phones up or down? Thumbs up or But Shaughnessy's back with us. Here's the action update.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Mike, what does the phrase Patriot Way mean to you? And do you remember the first time you heard it?
Isn't that the street sign? Isn't that the street the movie theater is on?
Probably.
I don't know. I didn't come up with it, so I don't know.
Mike Grable on his conference call this week with the New England media. You probably love that answer, Shaughnessy.
It's pretty good. That's what Bill would say. He hates that.
Oh, what? The Patriot Way thing?
Yeah.
Even privately?
I believe that. I can't say.
Isn't much of it attributed to him?
No. None of it's attributed to him.
Sure it is.
Ownership.
Oh, I mean, they weren't talking about Patriot Way in terms of... No. You're thinking about it in different terms. You're thinking about it in the...
Well, he likes do your job, no days off,
okay,
all that stuff.
I think before do your job and all that was the Patriot Way, which was all of those things sort of combined. I think that was about the football approach.
I think he sees that as ownership nonsense, but that whole notion that we're different from everybody else. We don't take these kinds of players. You know, the name, the family name counts for more than the ability in the field. He's like, BS to that. Give me the players. Yeah, he's always been that guy.
That's what the Patriot Way and how that phrase was used turned into. But originally it was about the way the Patriots went about winning games.
Yeah, the notion that you could
I think you're right. It manifested into something else.
Oh, my God. Totally.
Later. But in the beginning, when Mike Vrabel was here as a player. But how about there was a little shot there at ownership there.
Well,
about the movie theater.
That's not the first one.
No.
That's why.
I brought this up about all the things he said in 2008. Do you think that was part of the reason why he was traded?
Yes. He was like, that's... What was that deal? It was two high profile.
He was a throw-in. It was Matt Cassel. He got
thrown
in. Thank
you. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Which is one of the reasons I was surprised that Ben Watson was retained this year. He took a little shot there, too.
He did.
Back in the Orchids of Asia days.
He did.
And somehow survived.
You say that like it was so long ago.
Well, you know what?
It's 2019.
It's funny. When we were talking about that, I thought to myself, you know, the longer this takes, holy crap, it was a while ago, but it was still just this past spring.
February 22, to be exact.
Yeah, like, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Time flies, but it also seems like so long ago because there hasn't been any movement on that there are no developments to speak of lately.
Just that the prosecutor said he might make it a felony last week, whatever that was. It was crazy.
Good luck.
You know, yeah.
Let's go to Tony, who's in Worcester. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. Just a couple quick questions. You think they'll get back to the hurry-up offense maybe to spite, get things going? And do you think Burkhead should get more carries this game? He seems more explosive.
I'm glad you brought that up about the hurry up, because to me, it's always a weapon that's useful to them. I just think that they don't have the personnel or the experienced people to pull it off, because they would do it if they could do it. And, you know, you gas the other team. They don't know what's coming. When that thing was good, it was as good as anything, any weapon they had. And there was one instance of it this year, and I can't remember which game it was. It was in the middle when they were still good. But I would love it. I just don't think they feel they have the people. You know, I mean, Tom's already giving guys a stink eye because they're not in the right place. So I think the hurry up would blow up in your face.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is that when you don't pick up first downs, you're now not spending any time, and you're putting your defense right back on the field. Yeah. Which is not something that they want to do.
Yeah. You have such poor third down conversion, which was what really crushed them in the Miami game.
Yeah. So that's what I think they're probably in. The game you're thinking of is the Baltimore game.
Yeah. That was the one time they looked good.
The one time that they used it in that Baltimore game. One
yes.
of their, you know, their really good drive in that game is the game you're thinking of. And I just think that they are afraid of it for all the reasons you gave. But also, when things don't work, you're now putting your defense right back out there again.
Using no clock.
And you don't want to gas those guys. Let's go to Alan in California. Hi, Alan.
How's it going, guys?
Alan. What's up?
Okay. I think the defense has been put back out on the field a bunch of times this year. I think they've been, you know, they've played about five quarters of game compared to the last couple of years, or at least compared to 2 years ago. There's been kind of a change there. And I think they've done a pretty good job considering that they've just been out on the field more. And I think they're getting worn out towards the second half of the season. I think that's what we've seen.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going with that.
I'd like to back it up with something before.
Data? Some data? Analytics?
Yeah, I might have to look at the data to arrive at that conclusion. Because I'm not sure if it's true or not. It might be. I don't know if that's the problem. I think what's really happened is they've played better competition, and when they've played better competition, they haven't looked as good. The Patriots' defense has not played well against the good teams.
And in some cases, the bad teams. I mean, I thought the Cleveland game and the Cincinnati game, I know the Bengals turned it over five times, but look at the numbers in that game. Get your data out. Time of possession, first downs. The Bengals were not annihilated in that game. They controlled a good portion of that game. They turned it over and they couldn't
finish.
Why?
Joe Mixon, big part of the reason in that game. All of a sudden this week, it's Derrick Henry, who could do that exact same thing, but it's against a team that might be able to finish Dan.
Right. Oh, it's a scary prospect. It is.
But the better teams thing is only half of it because, you know, when it comes to the Dolphins, again, I hate to bring up 43-0, but it was 43-0 the first time around. You get a chance to see this defense after a while, and I still say they're very, very good. I don't chalk it all up to playing bad teams at the beginning, but you get a chance to see them, and I think teams are just spotting a couple of ways to exploit them, and that ends up being the difference as much as playing some better teams, too. Sure, they played some better teams that have taken advantage of them, but it's the same Dolphins team you played. It's the same Dolphins team that you absolutely embarrassed first time around. A chance to see him in that game, and a chance to see a bunch of tape on him after that. Okay, what if we did this? And they did, and it worked.
Joe in Connecticut. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey, Joe.
So, you know, real quick question. I kind of hate to be off topic a little bit, and you know, but real quick, you know, I'm not really a betting person. I probably won't put money on the game. To be honest with you, though, I still feel confident that the Patriots can pull it off. You know, I hate to I hate to not go off of statistics, but you got to, you know, you got to keep in mind, come January, you just, they just seem to flip that switch, you know, whatever the hell it is, whatever motivation that is. And, you know, I like to believe they probably won't make the Super Bowl. It just doesn't seem likely. But at least one win. They'll rip off one postseason win. They're not going down first round. I don't know.
Yeah, they've won 10 straight games at Gillette in the playoffs. They're 20-3 lifetime there.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it just seems unlikely that they're just going to be in and out. I know it happened with the Jets back 9-10, but, you know, it just seems unlikely that this is the end of the story. You know, yep, we're going to go in, we're going to lose, and that's going to be the end of it. Bye, Brady, that's it. Like, it just doesn't feel practical.
Sure. Yeah, I understand that. That's sort of what Dan hit on last hour. Yeah. That until you see it happen, you don't believe it.
Nope. It would right? be an unceremonious end, and it's not the story that anybody wants. But when you talk about flipping a switch, I foolishly got suckered into thinking that the switch was flipped against Buffalo because you beat the Bills by 7 points. Ah, they flipped the switch just like they did last year after those back-to-back losses. The switch has been flipped. Don't worry. No, it wasn't. There's no switch that got flipped. I don't know if switch is going to get flipped this year. I don't see him losing in the playoffs at home. I didn't see him losing to Miami in Week 17 at home in a game that they needed to win, so they got a bye week. None of this is going according to plan. This is not the movie you bought a ticket for. Sorry, it's not. Now, I still think they win on Saturday, but don't think it's just because of some manifest destiny, because that's been blown up now. That got blown up Sunday in Foxborough against the Dolphins. The story has now changed. Anything goes at this point.
Well, that's all well and good, Hardy, but if they have a convincing win this weekend, it's all going to start in again. Like, oh, they beat the Chiefs in the road in the playoffs last year. Andy Reid will screw up the clock. Oh, the Bills will go in and stun Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and then you'll get the Bills at home in the AFC Championship.
Well, that's the only
thing. If they go on, they win 43-0, to use that score that we just talked about from Miami. If they were to win 43-0 this weekend, we're going to feel differently about their chances the following week in Kansas City, and we should.
All right, so the last caller brought up, he says, I'm not necessarily a betting guy. Do you want to bet right now that that they do anything like a 43-0 win over the Titans?
I don't see that happening. I don't. No. But if it does, Hardy, I'm going to think differently about them, and with good reason.
Yeah, that would be
impressive. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Just laying that groundwork for you.
Okay. All right.
It's not likely to happen. I know that.
If Edelman magically recovers and he can go off and have 9 catches for 140 yards, and James White all of a sudden can get open against better coverage than he's had to face up until this season, and Mohamed Sanu can actually run a route that gets over the pass where they need to pick up a first down, and N'Keal Harry goes off and has 6 catches for 2 touchdowns. All these things come together at once, and the defense doesn't get exploited underneath. All these things happen, sure, but you're just talking about a lot of things that need to happen that did not happen, and they didn't even happen after that Buffalo game. Oh, we were told they happened, but they didn't really happen. You beat Buffalo by 7 points.
We'll get a check of the headlines, the latest on Josh McDaniels and his plans to interview with other teams. We'll get to that story next.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The phone number. Beetle, Hardy, Shaughnessy with you today from Warrior, where the temperature is dropping. I'm glad they held off until about now, though.
It's those things up there. It's those tube things. Or, no, those vent things. Yeah. I don't know.
It's that big block of ice behind us, too.
That's part of it. The temperature is now starting to drop. It was bearable today. I'll give them that. It was bearable out of the gate. Here's the latest on Josh McDaniels. Ian Rappaport says that Josh McDaniels is planning to conduct his interviews next Friday, January 10th. He has requests from the Panthers, Browns, and Giants, and is considered a top candidate, says Rap Sheet.
So that'll be the day before they fly to Kansas City.
Yes. That's according to Rap Sheet.
Can you explain to me why this has to happen now? Explain it to me again, because we go through this every year.
Why it has to happen now with these other teams?
Yeah.
Because they want to hire coaches.
Right. Yeah, well, can they
work to be done?
Can they hire a coach in a couple of weeks?
Well, all the teams that need coaches are not playing anymore, and they're all trying to figure out which guy they want.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where you don't want to be stuck without a coach that's good. So if you're trying to decide between Josh McDaniels and someone else who's got three other offers and is coming from a staff that's done for the year and is already interviewed, yeah, you got to sort of fit this in somewhere.
And it just simply couldn't be that, all right, guys, I know you're done, and I know you're done, and you can interview right now, but we're just going to hold off on everybody for a couple of weeks.
Can't, because everyone's not going to hold off. Unless the league sort of mandates it, that you can't do coaching searches.
That's what I'm saying.
And, yeah, but that's also not fair, because these teams need to get their coaches in-house, and they need to figure out their staffs and their front office situation, because they got to start prepping for the draft.
Now, three more weeks isn't going to kill them.
All right, but free agency opens in March. The draft work is getting put in. Like, all that stuff happens.
How much charade goes on with the Rooney Rule? Because, I mean, like, it's always presented like...
It doesn't feel like it's really enforced.
And by the way...
People know who they want.
Okay,
no, Hardy, the Senior Bowl's coming up the end of this month.
Yeah, they got to get their work in for the draft that's happening in a couple of months. Josh McDaniels could conceivably have a game to play in two more days.
2 days after.
Which is more pressing?
Hey, people got on Parcells for talking about the Jets.
The game.
About the Super Bowl.
Of course it is.
The game is more pressing. But I understand that you want to make... You know, there has to be a secondary coach, because he left too, and I got to figure out the guy, and that's going to happen 3 months from now. But I have a game to play in 48 hours.
All right, but Josh...
So can we hold off on this, please?
But if you want to miss out on a job, then yeah, hold off and tell him your game's more important. But are you telling me that...
Telling everybody to hold off.
Josh McDaniels can't find time on a Friday when there's going to be a walkthrough anyway.
Yeah, the haze
before they travel. It's over.
Haze
the prep is over.
Yep.
That's why he's scheduling it for that day.
All right.
That's why he's doing it.
By the way,
how about the idea, though, just in general, that, and we're sort of ignoring this point, the idea that Josh McDaniels is staying is, I think, long gone. If he's going to interview with three teams next Friday, he's looking to move. He's looking to take the leap and be a head coach elsewhere. Not wait around behind Bill. That's not what we're seeing. That's not what that contract renegotiation with the team was all about.
I thought it was the Kraft traditionally waiting until their season's over and then saying, oh, yeah, let's hold on to Josh. Isn't that how it happened last time with the Colts? There was like all these like last-second meetings.
Yeah, I mean, that was the last-second meeting in an attempt to keep him.
Yeah.
Which they did.
So you're saying he's already gone because he has three interviews. I'm saying when the Patriots season is over, what if all of a sudden – they wake up and Josh gets their attention again. Oh, yeah, we forgot, Josh.
Here's the thing. No, I don't think that the Patriots are going to keep Josh McDaniels either way, I think, with the Colts thing. I think the Colts thing was truly about him not wanting to go to the Colts and not about staying put and his family and all that nonsense that was spun at the time. That he, even the following training camp, came back and said, no, it wasn't about that. Oh. But... that's what people wanted to believe it was, for some reason. It was about him making a football decision not to coach the Colts. And now he's...
But they had announced him.
And now he's looking for a new job.
Well,
not in New England.
If some team announces him, I'm not going to trust it until he's on the sideline for the opening.
No, that's fair. It's totally fair.
Yeah.
And he's putting together a staff. If you were one of those guys who got left behind in Indianapolis... would you want to work for him again?
No.
No,
that
I wouldn't.
Brutal.
I wouldn't want to do that. Paul's in Grafton. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Bean. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I know you and Hardy have talked about it, and I want to say what up 16, but he's not there, and it blew you guys off today. But I wanted to ask Shaughnessy.
Yes.
Ian, I'm going to the game Saturday night, and I really feel like, you know, this is Brady's last home game. We're in a Patriots uniform. I mean, I want to get your take on it. I mean, why would he come back to New England? He you know what? Next year's not going to be any better than this year.
What you're saying sounds totally true to me, and it makes sense. I think most people that are going to be sitting around you on Saturday night are going to feel the way you feel. That this is it. We're seeing him in this uniform on this field for the last time. Yeah, the longer this is gone, and go back to September, October, as we've gotten into these last couple of months, it feels like just like what you just said. Why would he come back here?
What if Josh leaves and Brady doesn't have that guy anymore, his buffer to Bill?
Another reason.
And his offensive guy. Is he going to come back and...
It's really hard to fathom him doing this.
Have Mick Lombardi, Mike Lombardi's kid, is the offensive coordinator.
Just these press conferences all year. He hasn't seemed like an engaged guy. He's just doing lip service to us. He's not in it.
Dan Zates, ready to go?
Yeah, ready to go.
All right, the dates.
How are they?
Are coming up next.
Fair.
Yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
The first Dan's Dates of 2020. January 2nd. What do you have today, Dan?
Okay, birthdays. January 2 birthdays. Craig James, how old do you think he is now? Zoe would know.
57.
59 years old. Cuba Gooding Jr. He's always in trouble. His birthday is today.
I wonder what he's doing for his birthday.
I had a long conversation with him at a nightclub in Las Vegas once. He did not.
What did he ask you? He asked you about what you're into at
did
all.
Did he touch anyone near you?
No, he did not like the music I was playing at a certain dance night. He wanted me to change it up, and you know, then
you should have said, "Show me the money."
He had it almost as though he had like that chemically induced conversation thing going. He really wanted to talk like in depth. Yeah. About, you know, why I should be playing this and how he understood while I was playing something. I'm like, hey, man, I'm just here spinning. You know, it's, you know, if you no want to dance, dance. If you don't, that's okay.
No inappropriate touching in the vicinity.
No. He's okay. A gentleman.
How old would you say he is now?
He is 50.
52.
Okay.
52. In a lot of trouble. David Cohn is 57 today. Edgar Martinez, fellow Hall of Famer, born on the same day, also 57. Hardy, I'm not good at pronunciations in some cases, so I will not even try. The actress Tia, who was in Wayne's World, C-A-R-R-E-R-E.
Oh, Tia Carrere?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Yeah.
She's 53 today. Kate Bosworth is 37 today. And not much else for birthdays, although the captain died on this date. And I don't mean...
Sean McElroy?
No. I mean Tennille.
Oh.
Daryl Dragon. He wore the captain's hat.
All right.
He died on this date. Other stuff that happened on January 2, Bill Veeck died on this date, the great owner of the Cleveland Indians, brought the midget to Major League Baseball. The Red Sox signed Frank Viola in 1992. He only won 25 games over three seasons.
He was a Cy Young Award winner, was he not?
He had been with the Twins, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20 winner with the Twins left-hander. Sid Vicious on this date went on trial for the murder of his girlfriend. I wish I knew how that came out. But I know that this was the date he went on trial for murder of his girlfriend.
I don't know that history very well. I mean, and obviously, there were Sid and Nancy, they had issues.
Well, he was one of those ones like the New York Times with the formal, you know, they always like Mr. Hardy, Mr. Bertrand, Mr. Shaughnessy. When he died, it was Mr. Vicious in the obit. You know, Mr. Vicious was known for vomiting on stage, things like that. And they would always like, they do it with Beat Loaf, Mr. Loaf, the whole thing. 1778, on this date, Georgia became the fourth state to ratify the Constitution. On this date, a serious one, 1935, Bruno Hauptmann went on trial in Flemington, New Jersey on charges of kidnapping and murdering the 20-month-old son of Charles Lindbergh, the Lindbergh.
That was a bad one.
Lindbergh baby, man. On this date, 1942, the Philippine capital of Manila was captured by the Japanese forces. I believe General MacArthur righted the wrong there and returned. On this date in 1960, Senator John F. Kennedy of Massachusetts declared for the presidency in downtown Boston. Ronald Reagan took the oath of office as the new governor of California on this date in 1967. Nixon signed legislation in 1974 to keep the speed limit universally at 55.
Yes.
That lasted until 87. Beetle would not remember that. But no one remembered that, just me. But I do. It was the gas-saving thing, you know, OPEC thing. We had to preserve the gas. Annie closed the Broadway production on this date, 1983. Just 2 years ago, it was a big Me Too day. Al Franken formally resigned from the Senate a month after those photos surfaced and all that stuff. And on the same day, another one I can't pronounce. How do you say Hoda? NBC.
Hoda Kotb.
Hoda Kotb.
I did not know her last name.
Thank you. She was announced as co-anchor, replacing Matt Lauer on this date two
also
years ago.
Into forcible touching.
Yeah, it was the Cuba Gooding. It's a little bit of a bookend thing going on there.
Yeah.
And
Al Franken, Matt Lauer, and Cuba Gooding Jr., all of them today.
And we don't
dirt bags galore in the Dan's Dates.
Nothing about the captain at Tennille in there, but that's
well,
all.
They were good people.
Yeah, that's all I got for January 2.
Anything that we missed in there? Hardy, see anything?
No, I mean, Dan sold this date as fair.
You're not even going for fair?
I don't think it's a good date
at
all.
Here's something I could give you that was going on during this time, 100 years ago. So at Christmas time in 1919, Harry Frazee cut the deal to sell Babe Ruth to the Yankees. And
I read something the other day that No Nanette did not have anything to do with
it. I'll explain.
Okay, please.
So they kept it quiet until January 5th, which would be this Sunday, would be the 100th anniversary of the announcement. And Harvard was in the Rose Bowl that year. Remember they lost to Oregon 7-6.
Oh, yeah, we all remember that.
And they were on the train back. But on January 5th, which was a weekday, Frazee called people to his office and announced that he had sold Ruth to the Yanks for $100,000. Now, Beetle, this No Nanette thing, the play came out in 1925. Frazee was strapped for cash. He got $400,000. It was $100,000 for the player, $300,000 mortgage. He kept things afloat and then started selling more players to the Yankees. It was a procession of guys. He did not reinvest the money in the ballpark, in the ball club. And they bottomed out to a point where Tom Yawkey rescued him in 1934. But this became a 15-year disaster for the Red Sox. Look it up. I mean, 120 lost seasons, so close to that. It was bad. So in...
Well covered in Curse of the Bambino.
Right. And some of the, I don't know, sticklers are like, well, he didn't use that money for No Nanette because it didn't come out for five more years. That's true. If I give you a dollar now and you buy a candy bar, I don't know which dollar you used to buy that candy bar, but it's like, yes, it kept him going. The play came out later. The cause and effect aspect of it, I could not say. But, yes, No Nanette helped him with a big cash production 5 years after he sold Ruth. And selling Ruth allowed him to get the hell out of Boston. He always said the best part about Boston was the trains in New York. He was a New York guy, did not care about us, and he ruined your team.
Wow.
So there. So he still takes the bullets on that. 100 years ago. And it could be Tom Brady's last game the same day. I'm just saying. Getting my thoughts in order for Saturday night.
Tom Brady's last game in New England could be the same date as Babe Ruth being sold.
That it was announced. If the game extends past midnight. But in Sunday's papers, it'll be the 100th anniversary of the announcement. And
you going to write something up on this, Dan?
I'm prepared for all eventualities. I try to have all the bets covered. So, yeah.
All right, Dan. We'll talk to you next week. We'll figure out the day after.
Yeah, there'll be a lot to talk about next week, one way or the other. Thanks, fellas.
All right.
Happy New Year.
You missed one here that I think you would like. Yeah. 2003, 50 Cent was arrested by police in New York after police found guns in Mr. Cent's car. His SUV was searched. Where it had been left in a no parking zone. They found a 25 caliber handgun and a 45 pistol in the vehicle.
Protection.
Both loaded. Yep.
Mr. Cent
has been shot 8 times before. So, but it was about. By the way, Mr. Cent will be in Boston this weekend.
I know. You and Zoe had talked about going to that concert, and I said, he will not go.
So?
You didn't. Yeah, you didn't. It's like, oh, he said, I'm going to go. And I was like, no, he won't. He's not going to go. You guys made plans for your concert outing yet?
No, it's the Patriots playing on Wild
Card
Weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's
part
right.
of the problem.
You know, he's been hit with a few
slugs. He's going to be there, Big Night Live.
You're right about him being shot, though. He's been hit with a few slugs, but he doesn't walk with a limp. That's what he tells us in the club. He reiterates by saying, I'm all right. We should listen to that coming back, Jim.
He also has 21 questions.
Make sure it's a clean version.
Here are the headlines.
Puck just came up here. Charlie almost got hit by a puck. He didn't even know it.
90 seconds. We're right back.
He almost got killed.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.